and I thank you for watching today. Will you turn in your Bible with me to Ephesians chapter 4? I'd like to thank you for several of you have written to me, and some have called, and I appreciate the calls and the letters, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you, and I appreciate the things you had to say about the program. Today I'd like to continue with the thought about baptism, and we'd like to get down to the real nitty-gritty today about baptism and what it is all about in this age we're living in. Will you read with me in Ephesians chapter 4? We'll start in verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now, we're concerned today with this one baptism of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now, I have some material written by an individual here in Pensacola, and he refers to there being more than one Lord, more than one faith, and so forth, and he says there's more than one baptism. But, of course, he's referring to a false Lord, a phony faith, and yet he practices another baptism other than the one in the context. And he says that there's only one baptism that counts. What amazes me is that this man practices a baptism that he himself believes does not count. I'm talking about a Baptist preacher now. He says the baptism of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5 is the only baptism that counts, and he says that it's not water, yet he practices water baptism, therefore he's saying water baptism doesn't count. Now, what is this baptism here? Well, first, let's look at what it is not. Turn in your Bible with me, please, keeping in mind that Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize. Keeping in mind that Paul said, I am the apostle, the teacher, and the minister to the Gentiles. Paul said that I've been given the dispensation of the grace of God. And so Paul, having been given the dispensation of the grace of God, the minister to the Gentiles, the preacher of the Gentiles, wrote 13 books in the King James Bible. And in those, he said, Christ sent me not to baptize. Now, notice in John chapter 1, verse 32, and notice what John the Baptist said. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me. I'm just trying to show you that it is emphatic that the Lord sent John to baptize with water. Please turn and notice the 12. Look in John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, and notice in John 3 verse, we'll start in verse 25. John 3:25. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying, and they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men are come to him. In other words, they said that Jesus Christ was baptizing. Turn, please, to chapter 4, and look in chapter 4. Notice in verse 1, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. Now, verse 2, notice. Though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. In other words, Jesus Christ had the disciples that went with him wherever he went, and they did the baptizing. Now, notice in, and I'll not ask you to turn here, but in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus Christ said to the 12, Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. In Mark chapter 16, he said, Go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized should be saved. He that believeth not should be damned. There are two things that are obvious in this. Number one, that the gospel that was preached by them, according to Mark chapter 16, included water baptism. Why, he said, he that believeth and is baptized should be saved, but he that believeth not should be damned. It is obvious that believing in the resurrection of Christ was the major thing. But if they rejected water baptism, that is, identification with the Lord in water baptism, then they wouldn't be saved. Notice how Peter expresses this in 1 Peter chapter 3. Turn, please, to 1 Peter chapter 3. And notice in verse 21, he's referring to the salvation of Noah by water. Verse 21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, skip the parenthesis, by the resurrection of Christ. In other words, he's saying in effect the same thing that he was told in Mark 16. In Mark 16, go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized should be saved. He that believeth not should be damned. The emphasis is upon believing, but the believer then was baptized in water. And Peter says, baptism doth also now save us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In other words, they believed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and then they were baptized with water. So the one thing that is clear in Mark 16 is that water baptism accompanied the salvation of the individual. Water baptism accompanied the believing in the resurrection. Turn to Luke chapter 7, and notice in Luke chapter 7, the emphasis is put upon this baptism here. In Luke chapter 7, notice in verse, the emphasis is, the context is about John the Baptist. In verse 29, and all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John, but the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. In other words, no matter what they said, if they rejected the baptism, everything was over. It was done with. They rejected God by not being baptized with the baptism that John was sent to perform. So it is with the 12. They were sent to preach the gospel, and anybody that believed that gospel, the good news that Christ was raised from the dead, and was baptized, would be saved. Hence, Peter commanded Cornelius to be baptized in Acts chapter 10. Now, the second thing that is clear, in other words, the first thing is that baptism was associated with that gospel that was preached at that time. Number two, they were sent to baptize. Matthew chapter 28, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. There is no possible way that you can believe the Bible means what it says, as it says it, where it says it, without believing that they would have known that Christ sent them to baptize. It is clear. Teach all nations, baptizing them. So they were sent to baptize. Baptism was associated with that gospel they preached. Yet in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says there are divisions among you. And he's emphasizing those divisions. Then notice in verse 13, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I baptized in mine own name. Excuse me. Verse 16, and I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. In other words, he had no record of those that he baptized. If there had been that great of an importance upon the baptism, don't you think that he would have known the ones that he baptized? Why, he didn't say, I thank God that I got none of you saved but so-and-so and so-and-so. He said, I thank God I baptized none of you but so-and-so. The emphasis was not upon the baptism at all. In verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Obviously, Mark 16 is not the ministry that was given to the Apostle Paul. Paul could not have been sent under the commission that the 12 were sent under. He could not have said what he said if he'd have been sent under the commission of Matthew chapter 28. Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize. Christ sent the 12 to baptize. Therefore, Paul couldn't have been sent in that same commission, but that isn't all. The commission of Mark 16, and you can divide them if you want, but in Mark 16, go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized should be saved. Yet in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. The gospel is associated with the commission of Mark 16. There is no association, according to 1 Corinthians 1, 17, with that gospel that Paul preached. They cannot be the same. You cannot take words that say different things and make them having said the same thing. It will not work. So, there's one thing we know for sure. We know that the baptism of Ephesians chapter 4 cannot be the water baptism of Matthew 28 and Mark 16. It cannot be. It's got to be something else. So what is it? Well, it is associated with the one body. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, there is one body and one spirit and on and on. Verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. The one baptism of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, is associated with the one body of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. Turn back, please, to 1 Corinthians, and notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, notice in verse 12, for as the body, that's the human body, as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Now I find something about this. I find once again what the baptism of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5 is not. It is not baptism with the Spirit. It is baptism by the Spirit. It is not baptism with the Spirit. Please turn to Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, people are always talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and on and on. Well, brother, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5 is not baptism with the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 1, notice in verse 4, and being assembled together with them, a reference to the apostles, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you've heard of me. For John truly baptized with water. Please notice the emphasis upon with. He didn't say in. He didn't say by. He said baptism with water. John truly baptized with water. You should be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. He didn't say you should be baptized by the Holy Ghost. He said you should be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now turn, please, to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, and notice in verse 32. Acts chapter 2, verse 32, Peter said, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. Jesus is the baptism, is the baptizer. He is baptizing them with the Holy Ghost and with power. Now let's put on the board up here and we'll say, here is the beginning of Christ's ministry. During the ministry of Christ back there, John and the 12 baptized with water. The people were identified in water baptism with water. Then in Acts, I'll come out here and I'll say, here's the book of Acts. There are two baptisms during this period of time here. There is the baptism with water. Maybe I should say three baptisms. Then there's the baptism with the Spirit. And then there is the baptism by the Spirit. All three of them during that period of time. In other words, those that believed in the resurrection in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, so forth and so on, were baptized with water, looking unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when the deliverer will roar out of Zion and turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Those in Acts chapter 2 were baptized with the Holy Spirit. In other words, Jesus Christ died at Calvary. He died for our sins. He was buried and He rose again. And in Acts chapter 2, Peter preached the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All right, Jesus Christ went up unto God the Father and received the Holy Spirit from God the Father, and He baptized the 12 with the Holy Spirit. Only the 12. No women are baptized with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. Please observe, in Acts chapter 1, notice in verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with the brethren. And you'll find in verse 15 there's 120 there. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. And the implication is there's women among the 120. Now, in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. No women included. How do you know? Come down to verse 12. They were all amazed, those that saw what was happening. They were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. These men didn't say anything about women. But that isn't all. Notice in chapter 2, verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They didn't ask, "Ladies and gentlemen, what should we do?" There are no women that Christ baptized with the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2. And if you believe that, that's a figment of your imagination. That is something that somebody's conned you into believing. It is not in one accord with the Word of God, especially when the Word of God is rightly divided. There are no women baptized with the Holy Ghost. There are no women speaking in tongues in Acts chapter 2. Now, people say the church, which is the body of Christ, is there in Acts chapter 2. Well, it sure got confused then. Turn, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in other words, if there were women in Acts chapter 2, and those women were speaking in tongues, they were out of the will of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, notice in verse 32, "And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church." If the church, the body of Christ, is there in Acts chapter 2, and if women spoke in tongues there in Acts chapter 2, they were out of the will of Almighty God. They were disobeying the commandment of Almighty God as it is today. It is not permitted to women to speak. It is not for them to speak in the churches. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. And that's what the Bible says about the matter. There are no women baptized with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. There's only men, and the baptizer is Jesus Christ Himself. The baptizer is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power that empowered them to carry on the ministry they had been given to do. The baptizer is Jesus. They're baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 again, and notice the contrast. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles," and on. In other words, the church, which is the body of Christ, began somewhere back there, with Acts chapter 9, with the Apostle Paul, and the church, which is the body of Christ, reaches out there, and all the members that are in the church, which is the body of Christ, are in the church, which is the body of Christ, by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, not with it. The Holy Spirit is the baptizer himself. It is the Holy Spirit that puts the member in the body of Christ. And this is associated with what individuals have to say. Turn, please, to 1 Corinthians, and notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, notice in verse 3, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost." Now it is very clear that we are identified by that which we say. "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved," the Bible said. "The word is nigh thee in thy mouth and in thy heart." The word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth. How do you know who is in the body of Christ today? How do you know who the Spirit of God baptized into the body of Christ? By the confession that they have. Someone comes into the assembly and they say, "I'd like to join this assembly. Through what means may I come into this assembly?" I might say, "By word of testimony. Would you please give us a word of testimony?" And that individual says, "Oh yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. I've repented of my sins, been baptized for remission of sins. I'm keeping the commandments, enduring to the end, holding out, hoping that someday I'll be acceptable to God." I'd say, "Sir, we'd be glad to have you sit in and listen to the word preached. But to be a member of the church, this assembly, we couldn't receive you based upon your testimony." Let's say another individual came in. That individual said, "I want to be a member of this church. How do you receive members?" I said, "By word of testimony. Would you stand up, please, and give us a word of testimony?" That individual said, "Yes, I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins at Calvary. I believe that all my sins are paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. He redeemed me from all iniquity. I was judged at Calvary. I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm seated with him at the right hand of the Father." And I say, "But sir, tell me something. Could you become lost?" He said, "No way. I have eternal life. Jesus Christ has given me eternal life. He is my life. I'm saved by the grace of God. I cannot be lost no matter what." I'd say, "Sir, we're delighted to have you. Please come in." You see, the Holy Spirit never calls Jesus accursed. And you cannot say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, you can use the term with your mouth, but you cannot say from your heart, "Jesus is Lord," but by the Holy Ghost. That's why some of you that listen to my voice, you say, "Lord, Lord," but you've never said "Lord" from your heart. You know why? The Bible says we are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in our body and our spirit, which are His. In other words, Jesus purchased the church. Jesus bought us with His blood. We belong to the Lord. He purchased us, He bought us, and we belong to Him. And the word Lord means owner. The word Lord means master. And to say that I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is to say that I believe that He's Lord. To say that I believe that He's master. That He purchased me. That is, that He can do with me anything that He jolly well pleases. In other words, I have turned my life over to Him. I am trusting Him totally and completely to save me from eternal damnation in hell. I am unworthy of any goodness. I am unworthy of His salvation. I did not gain His favor by doing something good for Him. He saved me in spite of myself. He saved me by His grace. He saved me by faith. I believe in Him as my Lord and Savior, and I've turned it all over to Him, and He is Lord of my salvation. If I go to hell, it'll be His fault. If I end up in hell, it'll be His fault. I can never stand before Almighty God and God say to me, depart from me, you work of iniquity, I never knew you. I could say, yes, you knew me. You knew me because you said to me in the Word of God that Jesus Christ purchased me at Calvary, that you chose me in Him before the foundation of the world. You redeemed me by His blood. You told me to believe on Thy Son, and I'd be saved, and I believe in Your Son. Now I cannot be cast into hell. You say, that's pride. That is not pride. That's humble. My salvation has been turned over to the Lord. He is Lord of my salvation. I cannot go to hell. So what is the baptism of Ephesians 4 verse 5? Well, it's the baptism by the Holy Spirit. It's the baptism into the body of Christ. Well, who is it that experienced that? Those that were baptized into the death of Jesus Christ at Calvary. Turn, please, to Luke and look in Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12, notice in verse 50, Luke 12, 50, Jesus said, I have a baptism to be baptized with. How am I straitened till it be accomplished? Wait a minute. When He made that remark, He'd already been baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Lord had already empowered him back there. He had been baptized in water. Well, what is there that he can be baptized with? He can be baptized into death. Jesus Christ was immersed in death at Calvary. He went into death. He was submerged in death at Calvary. And I was submerged with Him. I went into death with Him. I was identified in His death. I was identified in His burial, and I was identified in His resurrection. I have died, been crucified, buried, and risen with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the baptism of death. I've already experienced the baptism into death. Not into some watery grave. Oh, no. Not into some watery grave with a handkerchief over my nose with some saying, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. No, no, no. I was baptized into the death of Jesus Christ at Calvary, identified in His judgment, identified in His condemnation, identified in His death, identified in His burial, and praise God, identified in His resurrection, and now seated with Him at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. I have been immersed into His death, and the Holy Spirit placed me into the body of Christ. Why? Because I believed in Jesus Christ as my Savior. Because I trust Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And because God knew I would do that, He immersed me into death at Calvary. That's the real truth of Romans chapter 6, beloved. Read it.